Looking to excel your career in the sport industry? Temple University School of Sport, Tourism, and Hospitality Management offers two master's programs to help you become a better leader. Temple's online and in-person programs in sports business combine a dynamic curriculum with ample opportunities to build your professional network. Get started today by visiting sthm.temple.edu/sports. One more time, sthm.temple.edu/sports. Now is a great time to improve yourself. All right, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition,
liftoff. Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning at WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. A couple of quick notes before we jump into today's fan question. Number one, quarantine kinda stinks. It is essential, I'm glad we are taking it seriously, but this kinda stinks. Note number two, so many of you that I know from our audience are posting that they've been laid off or your job has been furloughed, and this honestly hurts me to my core. This feels like something I'm seeing every time I log into LinkedIn, another person posting they've lost their job, and this is just, it's awful. It's not what any of us hope for or want. So I feel for all of you. We are all feeling a tightening of our belt. Reach out to me via LinkedIn or our private Facebook group, and I'll see what I can do to help. Our private Facebook group is a really great spot to network and find support from your peers, others like you facing these times and looking for support and guidance. So if you search for the Work in Sports Podcast on Facebook, answer a few questions and join into that group and that conversation. But I'm serious. Otherwise, if you've been laid off or you're struggling a little bit right now, reach out. I'll see what I can do. Note number three. In the same spirit of seeing what I can do, we have created an abridged version of our Work in Sports Academy courses. We call it Academy Essentials, kind of like, you know, Photoshop has their main product and they also have a Photoshop Essentials, which is kind of like their basic formula. That Essentials version is now free for all users to access. That's all Work in Sports users, whether you're on a paid account or a free account, you will get access to this material. So if you're looking to increase your knowledge, learn some strategies and tactics that will help you when it comes to getting hired in the sports industry, Academy Essentials is a great start. And again, it is completely free. All right, that's it for notes for right now. Let's get to today's question, which comes from Wyatt in Colorado. My youngest son is named Wyatt. He's 8. He did not write this question. Okay, Wyatt in Colorado. Hey, Brian, I'm a junior in college, pretty early in my sports career, and I'm trying to figure out my fit for the industry. I notice on your site, workinsports.com, that your tagline says, make your passion your career. I like that saying. I know that my passion is sports. But what part of sports should I make my career in? That's where I struggle. Any ideas that can help me? Also, I have to say, your site actually has a lot of jobs right now, and I didn't expect that. Thanks for your continued hard work during these times. Okay, so Wyatt, thanks for the kind words, the good questions. I just want to make a quick note first. I think the final side note that you said is kind of funny. Quote, your site actually has a lot of jobs right now. That word actually always cracks me up. It's like the ultimate backhanded compliment. You actually look nice today. Or wow, that paper you wrote is actually pretty good. Your site is actually pretty good at this. I totally know what you're saying, Wyatt, is that in these times where people are being laid off and teams and leagues aren't having games, that you were surprised that we still have some jobs on our site, or a lot of them. But it is kind of funny. Every time I read that, I see actually, it's a word that cracks me up for some reason. I appreciate the positive response, Wyatt. We are working really hard as a team right now, and as always, to find all the opportunities that are out there. We know a lot of you are hurting. I'm not trying to laugh, but we have to laugh a little bit and have a little bit of fun with this. I know many of you are hurting. I'm not being flippant about it, but I know finding your next opportunity can be a way to bring light to the end of the tunnel. And that's why we're working so hard to find and scour for every opportunity that's out there. We prove our value, I think, in times like these. It's hard to find opportunities right now. And using a service like ours that is out there, has the relationships, is looking for those jobs from employers you may not even know know existed and pushing them on our site is when we really show people that, yeah, we go above and beyond. We're not just a free board that, you know, has a bunch of junk on it. We go above and beyond to find the best opportunities that are out there. Okay, so as I mentioned last week on our Friday special edition of the podcast, in just to give a little perspective to all this, in normal times, we add about 75 new sports jobs a day. That's a lot of opportunities. That adds up a lot over time, tons and tons of job opportunities. Just being completely transparent, that number has slowed down, but it hasn't stopped. We added 183 fresh sports jobs last week. Different rate, but I'm telling you, there's going to be a huge boom once this quarantine lets up. And if you're looking in the right spots right now, there are opportunities. So again, there will be more opportunities soon. And our site, workinsports.com, is absolutely your best place to get the latest on the opportunities. So let's get into your question about passion, and then we'll refine things a little bit further, Wyatt. This also comes with the caveat of, I can't really answer this question for you. Everybody individually has to discover their own passion, but there is a conversation we can have, and we're going to have it now. And I've always kind of, I don't know, many of you that have listened to this podcast for a really long time know that I kind of bristle at this question a lot, but I am trying to open myself up to handling subjects that I wouldn't normally, because we're in strange times and everybody has to adjust. I don't usually like this question because I cannot tell somebody what their passion is. But as I thought about it this morning, I'm like, well, now's a good time to try to have a more in-depth conversation about this. So, all right, let's go. Has anyone seen the movie Inside Out? I don't expect you to answer to me because this is a one-way medium right now. But if you have, keep going with me. The movie Inside Out, it's a Pixar movie. Really, really, really well done. I have young kids, so I see all these types of movies. I know a lot of you don't, but if you get a chance, I think it's a really smart Pixar movie, and I think it would be worth your time. Trust me, I have a point in here, so just stick with me. The movie itself, on a macro level, is about your emotions and how your experiences help frame them. One of the concepts they use to explain this to younger minds, because remember, this is a kids movie. There's a Pixar movie that's for younger kids, and to tell them it's a movie about emotions isn't going to fly. They have to make things in a way that kids can digest it easily. And one of the ways they use it is they make all of their experiences are marbles, right? They're like, some of them are really lasting marbles. They call those your core memories. It's a small group of core memories. And those are the instrumental building blocks of your personality. But everything you've gone through is a marble somewhere. Some are in short-term memory, some are in long-term memory, some are in core memories. It's just kind of a cool concept, right? Visually. So now apply this to your own life. There are definitely events and times that stick out clearer to you than others for some reason or another. You know, why do you remember one event from your childhood more clearly than others? We all have this. We all have things that are stuck in our mind that we remember really, really, really vividly. I'm no psychologist. I'm not going to pretend to be. But I tend to think these moments that stick out have a reason for sticking out. There's something in there, a lesson, a theme, a process. It could be good and inspiring, but it could also be a terrible memory. But either way, there's a reason that it's stuck in there, and there's a reason that you are remembering that over all the other memories you could be remembering. All of this is a long way of me getting to one of my memories that always sticks out to me. And trust me, I'd actually say you should do this today. Analyze a memory you have and try to understand why. It can help unlock a lot of your belief systems. There are certain things that I've gone back and been like, why do I remember? Why does that always stick out to me? And as I digest it a little bit and think about it and actually spend a little moment with it, it starts to explain a little bit of my personality and why I might have an issue here or a trust problem there or, you know, certain things. And it's like these core memories are what it's affecting me. Anyway, getting off subject. We'll get back on track. So anyway, I have this memory. It's extremely vivid, and it goes right to the heart of Wyatt's question about passion and finding your fit. I was in fourth grade. I was sitting eating lunch with my buddies at the time. I could probably even list them off by name, and they likely aren't listening, but would be embarrassed if they heard it. Anyway, the lunch lady came out. She came to our table at the end of the table and started showing us very excitedly a marketing pamphlet she had for curly fries. I'm totally serious. It's 100% serious. She was exuberant. She was glowing. She was so excited to tell us about how she was going to order curly fries for the first time for the school and serve them up. And it was going to be so fun and it was going to be exciting. She was like over the top thrilled about this. Now, at the time, as a petulant fourth grader, I likely thought, what a dork. She's all excited about curly fries. But as I look back at this now, and as I have over the past decades, and wondered why is this stuck in my memories? It was because of her joy and passion in that moment. She was super excited and exuberant about this thing that she was able to bring to her audience. See, passion is different for everybody. I love, love, love growing organic vegetables in our own garden with our kids. One of my absolute favorite things. I've never talked about it here before, but I'm being really transparent nowadays. I love it. Love it. My wife, she can't stand the idea. Now, don't get me wrong. She loves the byproduct, but the process, not interested. This lunch lady, and I'm telling you, I can visualize this perfectly, her in this moment right now, she was passionate about her job. She loved serving the kids. She loved figuring out ways to make it more exciting. And she had a smile on her face all the time. I have thought of this moment hundreds of times over my life. And for a long time, I had no idea why. But I'm telling you, the reason this stuck for me was because somewhere in the deep recesses of my mind, I was being reminded to find something in my life that makes me as happy and fulfilled as my lunch lady was when I was in fourth grade. So a lot of you listening to me right now, you're maybe saying to yourself, Wyatt, you know, everybody else, like, okay, great, nice story. But how does that help me figure out my passion? Well, I think we always have to start with some goal and expectation or some deeper meaning to the question. So that's my point to you, is that start to be more observant about your history, and it can lead you to your future, or at least help you understand how important it is. None of this, that prior part, helps you figure out what you are passionate about, but it does help you understand how important passion is. If you have identified sports as your passion, you are already really far down the road of identifying your career. So congrats. So, all right, let's get a little bit more tactical rather than whimsical, shall we? Experience is how you refine. You have a broad idea of what you want. You want to work in sports. Okay, that's great. That is a broad concept. That is good. You started to narrow it down. But the only way to learn your exact passion is to experience the various options. Now, that does not mean you have to do internships in every possible discipline. Not at all. Quite the opposite. But your most likely place to get experience and expose yourself to different opportunities is when you are in college. So I'm talking to all the people who are in college or approaching college right now. And then I have other things I'll talk to those of you that are out of college with, but still listen. You need to be very, very serious about your course selection when you're in college. Read through every single option. Think about it and think about how you fit with that. Make sure you are exploring different areas that you think may interest you. Everything right now is just a theorem, right? Everything for you is just a thought experiment. Do I think this sounds interesting to me? Give it a go. Don't fall into, oh, this other person is taking it and I like them, so I want to take it with them. Really be serious about your course selection for the right reasons. I didn't take any finance classes because math was never my passion. I took TV production classes because I've always liked the visual mediums. Those selections made the difference in my career. The classes you choose in college need to be a mix of what do I think I need to know and what do I want to try. So need to know. I'd say you need to take some business courses. No matter what you want to do in the sports industry, take some courses that are economics, finance, sales, marketing, those sort of things, because you have to know how these things work because they will heighten your career ceiling, right? The more you know in these things, the higher you can go in your career. You won't be limited to a small expertise. You'll be able to think bigger, right? So then you have a whole list of things that you want to try. So take an event marketing class, take an operations class, take a PR class. You decide, but go on into each choice with some reasoned thought and belief that this has something in there that interests you and you want to explore it. So I'll use an example again for myself. I took a PR class in college thinking that might be my deal, but I hated it. I didn't like the spin. I didn't like the formality to the writing. It wasn't for me. It wasn't my style. So I checked that off the list and moved on. I mean, after I got an A, of course. But I found what I liked most by trying a myriad of classes. And then once I narrowed it down to a few ideas, I did internships to find out which really fit me. So perfect example too. And again, even when you get to the internship phase, you might find things you don't like. It's still, you're weaving down the list, you're narrowing it down. And sometimes that means finding out what you don't like. I had an internship once that I thought I would love. It was very early in my career when I was considering hotel and restaurant management. And it was at a hotel, really cool one. But I hated it. Not just the job I was given on the internship. I mean, a lot of internships aren't that great. But even observing the people that would be above me, that would be in the entry-level roles or in the mid-level roles or in the director-level roles, and observing their day-to-day, it looked awful. I saw that future and was like, oh, hell no. So I changed my vision a lot early on. As I've said countless times on this podcast before, I started out as a biology and chemistry double major in college. Like, look where I ended up. Not there. I'm not working a hotel. I'm not doing biology or chemistry. You pivot a lot. That's okay. That's how you refine yourself. Even in my career, I've pivoted multiple times. If you're hearing this and you're like, I'm not in college anymore. I can't take classes. Well, that's fine too. You can still keep learning and trying things. I mean, there are online courses out there for everything. And what you thought may have been your passion in college, I've had countless comments or outreaches from people who have been like, hey, I was an accounting major in college. I thought it was my passion. Then I started working and I don't like it. And I want to get into sports. What should I do? Well, all this means is you still have to go through a process of figuring out options. And for you, it may be reading through job descriptions and figuring out what sounds the most interesting to you, doing some search, doing some research, and then figuring out how you can learn those specific skill sets to make yourself, you know, valuable to that side of the industry. Even if you don't have a lot of experience in it, if you learn the right skills that are in high demand because you think it's something that you're interested in, then that's the way to get into that role and to start to discover if it's your right fit. I know I've said thousands of times on this podcast before that you should consider sales roles because it's a great way to get in the door with an organization. And I still believe that, tried and true. But again, you don't want to just take steps if you're not passionate about them, right? You still want to be working towards your end goal of finding something that lines up with your passion. And if you're passionate about sales or you're even slightly interested in sales, give it a try. If you know it's not your fit, if you know that you're not cut out for it, don't do it. You're not going to do a good job. It's not going to help you advance within the organization. It's not going to work out well for anyone. Find out where your passions are more excited, where you're more excited by things. Think about that lunch lady example. I mean, this podcast is a perfect example of how I've pivoted over my career multiple times, and I'm open to that. That's a big thing, is being open to it. This is 100% my passion. I love it. I think about it all the time. I come up with ideas when I'm walking the dog or playing with the kids. I love getting to know all of you and speaking directly with you. I love making that difference in your world. I am the lunch lady. That's what I hope for all of you. Don't settle. I'm serious. Don't settle. Keep trying to find those things that make you feel passionate. Pay attention to when you feel things. I remember the first time I learned nonlinear video editing and that feeling I had. I remember when I first got all the equipment for the podcast and how excited I was. These are moments you have to pay attention to and then expand upon them and then make them a part of your everyday. I can't tell anybody what their passion is, but I can tell you the best way to find that out is to pay attention to your emotions as you go through experiences. That's how you figure it out. All right, Wyatt and everyone, I hope that helps. And I hope you have it in your head right now that you want to become the lunch lady. And I mean that so seriously, I'm not even being flippant. That lunch lady was so excited by what she did. And you can find that for yourself, and you should have that expectation for yourself. All right, everybody, keep asking questions. I want to help in any way that I can. Coming up on Wednesday, Dan Kaufman, Director of Corporate Partnerships for the New York Jets. Again, this interview was conducted prior to coronavirus, so no mention in there whatsoever. Just a good old-fashioned, insightful interview with one of my new favorite people in the industry. Dan is awesome. All right, talk soon, everyone. Stay safe, stay home, and listen to podcasts.